Well, hey there, all you fine folks. Welcome to the Flatlands Field and Foul Podcast. We sure hope that you enjoy. Well, it's another day here.
It's the 30th.
Yeah, tomorrow's Halloween.
Halloween!
Happy Halloween!
Getting spooky up in here.
Boy!
Get in there!
Get in there! Well, you know, some events have transpired.
A few things have happened.
You know, I'm really curious to hear about... Hang on, I'm going to check this audio quality. Anyhow.
Quality is good. Quality control.
I mean, I still can't afford to go out and buy a
couple boom mics.
The Shure boom mics and everything, but maybe one day.
Yeah, hopefully.
I'd like, you know, realistically, I need to get my own place so I can actually set that up and leave it there.
Yeah. Need to get in there.
Get in there!
You were curious about something?
What was I curious about?
I don't know. You said you were curious to, and then you stopped and said you were going to check the audio quality.
Well.
Of this here airwave, that ear hitter.
That earwave hitter. Well, my thought has removed from my head already.
All right.
But,
So events have transpired.
You know, yeah, they have some events, some key events.
Some milestone events.
Yeah.
Life changing, I would tend to.
Life improving.
Improving, yeah.
For me at least.
For you, yeah.
Not for the other party involved, but. Although. That could be debated.
It could be debated, yeah. Yeah, I could. There could be an argument made.
Sure.
So, first and foremost.
Go on.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you, sir.
Absolute, how would Ranella say, dandy of a four-hoved...
Of a deer.
Ungulate.
Of a friggin' deer.
Yeah, of a friggin' buck.
I wouldn't classify it as a big-ass buck.
I would classify it as a big-ass buck.
But it's a buck.
He's big. Long and tall.
You know, I'm in a lot better shape than I used to be, so that little buck drag I had to do under the thick bush was like, ain't no thing.
Oh, no problem for an old son.
Yeah.
So,
and I even managed to drag him in such a way that didn't affect my current leg injury I'm dealing with, which I was very happy about because I was like, okay, I'm going to take my time here.
You've been nursing it.
Yes.
You've been on the IR for a few weeks.
Oh, don't remind me.
Coach is not quite sure he's putting you in yet.
No, I'm not day to day. I'm on the IR.
Yeah, you are.
I am wearing a...
You're not even coming on the road trips. They're just saying stay home and rest.
Well, I'm still practicing with the boys.
Oh, yeah. On home ice.
But I'm wearing a no contact.
You're wearing that pink jersey. Yeah, no. Can't confirm.
But...
So, yeah, update the podcast world a little bit on your leg. What's going on there?
It's just... I started to have a problem in early September, and I'm a bit of a stubborn old mule.
Where one could say, yeah.
Something will hurt, and I'll just keep going and going and going. And now, about a month and a half later, I finally was starting to get some... I went to the chiropractor a couple times and started to look into taking care of this problem because it just kept getting worse. I'm used to the problems, you know, coming around, you deal with them a bit, and then they move on.
Yeah.
However,
you let tomorrow you deal with that problem.
Yeah.
In a sense.
But in the last year, like, I've always known there's going to be an injury coming.
Yeah.
I've just kind of, like, danced around that. And sure, over the course of this past year, I've had a few injuries, like, very small. Some quick knee problems where I could go home, do some major stretching, take an ice bath, and...
You're ready to rock.
Maybe take it easy for a day. Easier for a day.
Yeah.
And then I'm back at where I was, you know.
Yeah.
But this, in this case, that's not working.
So would you say, you were operating then with those smaller leg injuries? Were you operating at full 100%, or do you think you were maybe operating at like a 90%, but...
For the short time, I would operate at probably 80%.
Okay.
For so like a day or two.
It was a considerable drop-off.
It would knock me back considerably, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because they hurt so bad.
Yeah, fair enough.
For some reason, I could get over them very quickly.
Yeah.
So, probably just some inflammation in the tendon, or in the iliotibial band, which runs along the side of your leg.
Sure.
It runs.
So what are they saying it's now? Is it the same?
It's like a form of tendonitis down my foot.
Okay.
And it's kind of kind of coincided with my shoes at the time were expired and I didn't replace them as fast as I should have. I thought they still had some life, but what my foot was telling me was different than what my pocketbook was telling me.
Yep. Yep.
So that's my own fault, but it's slowly getting better.
You're on the mend.
I'm on the mend. I am still in the pink jersey, but...
Your intensity of practice has been picking up. They're throwing you on lines now. You're not just out there skating, floating.
No, I'm hitting drills. I'm not on lines yet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyways. So, I guess the story that everybody wants to hear... Well, I don't know about everybody, but...
Everybody who's turning into the podcast does. Tuning in, turning in, clicking on.
Well, if you're turning in, that's like you're hitting hay at the end of the day.
Kind of thing. But you could turn into a driveway.
Or you could turn into
a radio station. That used to be an old thing. That's what they'd call it back in the day.
I thought it was tune in.
Well, you could tune it in or you could turn it in. I've heard both.
Although, so you could turn into a driveway and start a new adventure. However, you could turn in your assignment and then end something as well.
Correct.
So.
Yeah, I guess you do that, yeah.
I turned in an adventure to end my deer season.
As far as you know, for right now.
Yeah. For right now. I guess I could always go to white.
Yeah.
Shell.
Could always get that second tag. Go for a hike. So. Let's hear the story.
Should I tell the whole day?
Yeah, go back. We got time.
All right.
Get that hitter.
Well, where, let me collect my thoughts here for a second. Alrighty, so it was the 26th of October. It was a Saturday. The muzzleloader season had opened on the Monday of the week. So today is Wednesday, the following Wednesday. So it was open for a few days.
Yep.
And I decided to head down to the farm in an unnamed location in southeast Manitoba, relatively close to the border, the USA border. I'll say that much.
Yeah, that's about as far as a fellow would need to go, I would think.
In the RM of...
Nah, I wouldn't even go there. Nah, just leave it.
You know, I've been to that RM a few times.
No, that's fine, but in case there's any new
No, you said, the way you said it, so we'll call that, it's the arm of, we don't need to go there.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're getting at. There's a play on words.
Yeah.
Right.
A weak one.
I'll meet you halfway.
So, I thought, I'm going to take the muzzleloader out for the morning.
The old smoke pole.
Yeah, the old stomper. As we say in Low German.
Correct.
And so I rolled out. I got there, of course, like a couple minutes after shootable light, because for some reason I'm pretty much late for everything. Slightly. And got up into the stand. And I just didn't really see a whole lot of, like, I saw nothing moving. So I'm overlooking a hayfield with bush behind me, and about 50 yards or so behind me as well, there's the fence line, which cuts off the property. So it runs about a half mile, actually no, it runs a full mile to my east, or just under a full mile, whatever the difference is from the road to me. And eventually I was like, this kind of sucks. I had only planned to be out there for the morning. I thought, I'm going to go for a walk. Because I hadn't been around there for a couple of weeks, so I thought I'd go look around, see if I could find some rubs and scrapes.
Yep.
Maybe some beds, whatever. So I go for a tour down the fence line, and I kind of make my way into the back pasture. I see, oh, I thought the cows were gone, but the cows are still in there. So I muck around back there a bit, you know, stay out of sight of the cows so they don't come over to me. I bugger off back towards where I come from. I scoot around the farmyard, and now we're coming up on about 10 a.m.
Okay.
So I've been walking around for a bit. I guess I've turned into a bit of a poor stand hunter in some respects. I like the adventure.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I'm another story for another time.
And so then I have to cross near the cows, so I quickly run past that, or not run, but I make time past that open of the fence. And all of a sudden it's like, oh man, it's been flooding here for some time now because of all the rain we've had.
Yeah.
It's like, uh-oh, this pasture is like pretty deep. So I have to cross about 200 yards of water in the pasture. And so I end up walking through like knee-deep water in my lace-up boots. So I didn't wear
your squishy boots.
My squishy boots. All right. Squishy boots from about 10 a.m. on, which is a factor later on.
Okay.
I couldn't wear my muck boots because right now they don't offer me the support I need in my foot and my ankle. So I was like, well, going to wear the old lace-ups. I didn't think it was that wet back there.
Okay.
So I'm trying to slowly pick my way through the water, you know, on the little grass
patches.
Patches that are a little higher than everything else in the pasture, you know.
Yep.
Like a swampy pasture. Pretty generic.
Like every pasture, yeah.
Yeah. And eventually I just give up and start trudging through the water, which is, like I said, knee deep or so, just under. And up ahead of me, there's the oak trees. Like there's a big old stand of oak trees, and the ground comes up drastically, like a foot and a half or so. So
okay.
It's dry up there. So I splash my way onto there. Like literally, I'm like, okay, screw this. I don't care if the deer hear me. I'm getting out of the water.
Yeah.
I got enough of this.
Could have brought the hip waders out.
Yes. Yes. So I splash my way up. I get onto the dry land. I look in front of me. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought the cows were back there. Why is there cows out here? Wait a minute. That's four deer ahead of me, about 80 yards up.
All right.
And so from where I am, they are about 80 yards to my west. It was a south wind at the time.
Okay.
And I thought for sure they would have heard me, because I was splashing quite loud, but I guess maybe they thought I was a cow.
Yeah.
Really, because you couldn't see what was in the water from where they were. Like, there's enough struck, enough brush and whatnot.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I step out, and I'm like, holy cow, there's a nice buck over there. I think there was another smaller buck with him and two does, I believe. Like, what? Okay, so my heart just jumps immediately. I'm like, holy cow. I grab my grunt tube.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm kind of a little bit rattled and maybe low on breath. So I make this weird sounding grunt, which they don't actually hear. And I think, well, I have my rattling bag with me. I'm going to give it a quick rattle. And remember I made a comment about a mistake?
Yeah.
Here's my mistake
that
I was kicking myself all day for. I whip out my rattling bag. I gave it a quick, probably 3-second rattle. All four deer, heads up, look at me, and they're gone like a shot. They're headed west through the bush. I'm like, no. Just fired up. I turn right around, looking back over the water. I pitched that rattling bag as far into that water as I could, and I said, not anymore is that thing coming with me.
So it's still sitting there?
Yeah, I have no idea where it is now. I hope a cow doesn't eat it. Doesn't eat those plastic things.
So
about 8 inches long.
Let me stop that story there real fast. So the mistake you made was rattling?
Well, the thing is, from where I was, if I would have just I saw the buck.
Yeah.
If I would, I had a shooting lane. I was thinking I was bow hunting, I guess. I thought I wanted to get him in closer.
Yeah, I was going to say 80 yards is doable.
That's
whole, well within like range.
That's wheelhouse for sure.
Oh, yeah. That's blouch.
Yeah. And
because to me,
it was just unnecessary. But maybe I'm harping on it being a mistake because they just like instantly turned and ran. They didn't even care. Like, they just bugged out.
Oh, they probably just saw you and like, that's not, well, that's not 2 bucks fighting.
I was standing behind a tree and they just like, they didn't even look. They just gone.
Well, that would suggest to me, now in my limited knowledge, that would suggest to me that those 2 bucks are clearly not the biggest bucks in the area. And they're probably not fighting yet either.
No. Though I did see some fresh, oh man, I always forget which one's which.
Rub?
Yes. Saw some fresh rubs in spots I wasn't anticipating.
Wait, on the tree or on the ground?
On the tree.
Oh yeah, that's a rub.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're scraping the leaves.
I had that dialed down, and then all of a sudden this year, I can't remember which is which.
I get confused.
So, whether or not that was a mistake, at the time, if I wanted to tag out right then, it was a mistake.
You were thinking that, great, there's my opportunity. Yeah. She-gown.
But from where they were, if they were going to cross into the neighbors due west, they had a full half mile of bush to get through. So I thought to myself, it's about a quarter mile from here to the fence line that I can walk, which is follow the road. I can walk down this fence line and perhaps intercept them at the westerly end.
Yeah.
And if I did that, then I would have the wind at my advantage the entire time. And it was probably about a 35K wind, so it was substantial.
Good. Oh, yeah,
sure, in the bush, it's not windy, but
it's still carrying.
Yeah. So I start making my way down there. And ever so slowly, remember, this is about, what was it? Probably about 10:30 by now in the morning.
Okay.
And, like, it was nice to see these deer moving around then. So I started heading down the fence line, heading west. And all of a sudden, like, I'm going super slow.
Yeah.
And I'm not really paying attention. Because I'm thinking I'm going to walk all the way west, and then I'm going to cut south, and I'm going to cut them off. Because they're going to be on the hayfield that I can't see.
Yeah.
I was assuming, which they weren't. But all of a sudden, there's deer crossing from the road. And it's so treed in there, it's really hard to see until they actually cross the fence line right in front of me. And all of a sudden, there's a deer crossing at like 11 a.m. And then at like quarter after 11 or something. Thought, well, this is good. Like,
they're moving midday.
They're moving midday, which I think they do a lot more than we think. But like, it was, I think both cases it was a doe, two separate does or something, maybe a spike. I can't remember.
Okay.
Couldn't quite see. Wasn't anything huge, at least. But it was nice to see that they're moving. I mean, granted, a lot of guys tend to shoot big bucks at 11, 12, 1, 2 o'clock.
Yeah, it's not always early morning or late evening. No.
So, you know, continue walking down there. And I finally get to my westerly destination after bumping. So, one deer had crossed, and then I carried on, another deer had crossed, and then all of a sudden there's one bedded down in a little alcove of trees that I couldn't see.
Okay.
So I bumped that one out of there.
All right, yeah.
Ah, great.
You're just thinking the mistakes are piling up at this point.
Well, that one I could live with because I didn't know it was there and whatever. It was just a doe anyways. I wasn't going to shoot a doe.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, I get all the way west and I cut back in. I come back east a ways and walk through a whole bunch of poplar swamp pasture land. Find some fresh scrapes.
Nice.
And rubs. And so I was getting like, okay, that mistake is kind of drifting out of my mind.
Yeah. You're thinking you're in the wheelhouse now.
Yeah. Like, I know that they travel through there. I've known that for years, but I didn't realize this much. I always took it for granted, I guess. And eventually, probably an hour later, I finally get back to my tree stand because I'm parched. My pack is there.
Yeah.
And I realize I always take an old phone with me to check my trail cam pictures.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize until then, but it was dead.
Okay.
So only way to charge it is jump in the truck and sit in there for a while and hope it charges.
Yeah.
And it's old phone, so it doesn't charge very well. So I figured, well, I'm going to rip to town. Go grab a coffee.
Yeah.
You know, rip to town, unnamed town.
Figured you maybe dry your socks out a little bit on the
match. Yeah, I figured I'm just going to leave my boots on, turn my heater up on the feet all the way.
See if you can get a little drying activity going.
And it didn't work.
Yeah.
So, went to town, got a coffee, got a Gatorade, whatever. And finally my phone charges up enough. I start sifting through some pictures and then all of a sudden I see there's a nice 4x5 on cam.
Okay.
What time is that? Oh, 6:30. That's shootable light. And then I go back and I realize, oh, there's deer there at like 2:30, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock.
Kind of all hours.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. And right then I decided, okay, today I'm shooting a deer.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it's going to happen. So, you know, got squared away, headed back from town, back to the farm. And, got back into the tree stand. Shortly there, like the wind was changing from the south. It was to a bit of a west northwest.
Yeah.
Now, and which later on it changed to a northwest. Friggin' nor'westers always blowing us in the face, boy.
Yeah, man.
And so, this is about I think I got back about 2 o'clock. I wanted to get there before I think it was a 2:40 p.m. picture from the day prior. I was like, oh, this is, you know. For some reason, I always think if they're there at that time the day before, they're going to be there similar time the following day, which happens sometimes, but you can't necessarily bank on it.
No, but I would think it's that's not the right way to put it. I would think it's a good
indication of movement.
Yeah, or a good indication of time frame.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, generally speaking, from bucks I've chased before, and I mean, even does, I mean, when we were hunting Grunthal, those does, I'm confident, were the same does, were coming out the same spot.
Yeah.
Roughly the same time every night. Not, you know, not obviously to the minute, but right about the same time. Yeah. Whether that was 2, 3, 5 minutes early or 2, 3, 5 minutes late.
Yeah. Plus, minus, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I just realized you actually learn a lot more when you're out there for more than just 3 hours in the evening, 2 hours in the evening.
But yeah.
If you're out there for like a majority of the day, okay, I'm going to say this is an all-day hunt. Sure, I drove to town for a coffee, but my feet were friggin' cold.
Yeah. I can. I know the pain.
And I was only gone for like an hour, so.
What an all-day hunt. You took an hour lunch.
Yeah.
If you were on the clock, you would have been paid.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It would have been a full day of work.
Yeah. But, you know, just thinking back real quick, over the years, like, if you just sit there in the same spot long enough in an area, like in a deer habitat, you're going to see movement. There's
a
good chance. Like, it might be a small deer or whatever, but all of a sudden there's going to be something walking the bush line or, you know, crossing the hay field or the alfalfa, whatever you're on.
Yeah.
Or whatever, it's something just browsing, just
something moving, just checking it out.
Yeah,
doing deer things.
Yeah, I mean, we get up and move. Why don't they get up and move?
Exactly.
So
they got to keep their feet warm too.
I don't know how much feeling they have in hooves though.
I don't know. Probably not much.
Eh, minor details.
Not my pig, not my farm,
I'd say. Okay, so now we're about 3 o'clock.
You're sitting in the deer stand.
I'm sitting in the stand.
Feet are still wet.
Okay, so now I'm realizing that I did not dress for this. I dressed to sit there for the morning, not for all day.
Yeah.
And the temperature has dropped slightly from the morning. And I realize now I'm going to have to count down the hours until I can get out of here.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be a problem. And about 4 o'clock, no, about 3:30, I think, the shiver started.
Yep.
Oh, great.
Here we go.
So I spent, from then till my hunt ended, I spent pretty much the whole time just trying to breathe in a way that can mitigate shivering.
Yeah.
So I spent, I don't mind doing like breathing exercises. I think it's good for what I like to do in other facets of life. Like,
yeah, I would agree.
Training and everything. So, but anyways, like I made the mistake of getting my boots wet, getting the squishy boots, not necessarily dressing for the weather or to be out there for that long. So I was cold. My upper body was fine, at least. Thank the Lord.
So, again, I'm going to interrupt a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, going forward with this situation, okay, is it something that you're going to try and address as a next year's item and maybe packing? You have the room in your pack for something heavier.
Yeah.
Like a layer, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I know for me, like, I always have my minus 30 rated big winter camo snow pants for just the odd chance that wind switches from a south to a north, it cools off 2 degrees.
Which it did.
2 to 3 degrees like that. Yeah. And now you're... And especially when the wind's in your face, does that get cold.
And
boy!
The fun bonus point on this is my stand faces north.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And there's a big old open field for a good mile.
Yeah.
Where that nor'wester could just come right on in.
Boy. Oh, yeah.
So I spent a lot of that time standing facing south, which made a huge difference.
Oh, yeah, just getting your back to the wind.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting your face out of the wind.
Yeah.
It's amazing what that can do. So, yeah, so is that something you'll address going forward now?
Honestly, I really just should have thrown my bibs in my truck. Like, I don't know why I didn't do that. I guess because I didn't anticipate to be out there all day. But I should have done that anyways.
But even if they were in the truck, do you think you would have... Like,
yes,
would you have,
I would have walked and got them.
So now, would you... Do you think...
No, I would have put them on when I got back from town.
That way. Okay. Because, what I was going to say was... Obviously, you know how the situation turned out.
Yeah.
Like, we all know how the story... The end game of the story.
Yeah.
You don't know how it ends, but we know what happens, right? Now, my thinking is, well, if I at least I have them in my pack then, right? So if I need to put them on, they're here.
Yeah.
Do you think that's something you would consider, or would you just leave them in the truck and then at 4 o'clock when the shivers start, you'd hike back quickly, try and get back to your stand for the last, and possibly bump a deer?
No, I would just wear them then.
At that point.
I would just wear them, yeah. If I'm going to go out for a walk,
yeah,
either I'll take them off or I'll just walk slowly.
Yeah.
Like super slow. And now as it's getting colder, then I would just wear them all day.
Yeah.
And then just regulate temperature as I go, right? You know, open a zipper as I'm walking, close, whatever. But in this case, it would have been nice to at least have them in the truck so I could have made that call when I got back and said, Kate,
I should put them on.
Yeah. However... Now, the blessing in disguise, or maybe the silver lining, or I forget the other term that I want to use, but so I knew that this afternoon, evening sit was going to be a challenge. So in my mind, that's like, let's see how long I can last.
Yeah, let's see how
and mentally tough I am. When I play that kind of game, that is what I like to play.
Uh-huh.
That mental toughness game, I like to see how far I can go.
How far you can push it.
So, I mean, sure, I was counting down the hours to get out of there. And I was doing a whole lot of just sitting completely motionless, you know, head down on my knees, or standing facing south, which is generally where the deer actually are. So that's kind of handy.
Yeah.
But, and just dealing with shivers. Every now and then I would climb down out of the stand and either walk a few paces onto the hay field, and there's still hay bales on there. Walk out there, come back in the stand, and
just get the blood moving.
Just to get the blood moving. So now we're getting to about 5 o'clock, and I decided, okay, I can't walk onto the field anymore. The wind is getting me too much out there. So I decided to walk into the bush, to the fence line to my south, so I could be sheltered for a bit.
Yeah.
And I figure I'll just sit on a rock here for a few minutes before I head back to the stand. So I sit on the rock for a few minutes. I figure, okay, you know, it's getting close to the time that there's probably something going to come by. I get off my rock, which is set back in the bush. I step back onto the fence line, which is cut all the way down east-west. I'm looking. Holy cow, there's a fawn down there. Like 150 yards.
Right on.
He's coming my way, or it's coming my way. Like, okay. Okay, I'll just, you know. It was none the wiser. It was just browsing, coming my way slowly. Okay, okay. All of a sudden, oh, there's a doe with it that had just stepped out of a bit of an alcove of the bush. Okay. All of a sudden, oh, there's a spike back there.
Hot dang.
Hot dang, okay. Let's see what we can do. So I just stood there motionless. And I was wearing my orange and everything, but I was, you know, motionless. And there's some oak trees along the fence line that I could kind of stand with.
Yeah.
So I just stood and watched. Like, I had plenty of room like, really, I could have stood there motionless and they would have come all the way to me.
Yeah.
So I stood there. All of a sudden, they started to close the distance. Like, oh, man, I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
And then they stopped. They turned around. They trotted back opposite way of me. And then they jumped into the bush. So that thin stretch of bush that separates the fence line from the hayfield. And remember, my stand borders the hayfield.
Yeah.
Or is on the edge there. Oh, great. So I bug out of there and I get in the stand right away by great back. So I was only like 40 yards away from my stand.
Yeah, so you're close enough.
So I was close. So I just quick beeline, whatever, took a quiet route and back in the stand. And I'm back in there and I'm anticipating to see this doe and fawn come down the fence line any minute. It took them a while. They eventually came directly behind me. So they were 40-ish yards, 50 yards maybe. Along the fence line, straight behind me. And they have my wind.
Yeah, they crossed your wind.
And I was literally right there 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Right where they are. And all of a sudden, they disappear. I guess I looked away and I looked back. What?
She gown.
Like, okay, well, that's kind of odd. I didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so close, I could have heard if they bugged out. Like, okay. So about quarter to six, probably. Like, oh, I really got to take a piss.
Yeah.
Well,
all that damn water you drink.
Yeah, I drink a lot of water.
That water mule. Yeah, that's not a bad idea, though, drinking water.
So I figure, so now right now it's kind of changed to like a northwest wind.
Yeah.
So they have my wind.
Oh, yeah.
And at least with my ladder stand, I can climb down like dead silent.
Yeah.
So I climb down. I walk out of the hayfield 20 yards. Quick piss. They're downwind of me. I don't really have a choice. I need to go.
Like, yeah.
Whatever. That's just the way
it is. Nature calls.
Now, it's cold. Everything's cold, so you got
to
go.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you're cold. I have to go now.
Yeah.
There's no, I can wait 5 minutes.
I come back up the stand again. A few minutes later, all of a sudden, there's doe and fawn. They had bedded down there. In my wind, 45 yards behind me.
Huh.
Granted, there's trees, oak trees, yeah. Poplars in between us. But again, I didn't make any noise other than the sound of crunching a couple leaves and, you know, taking a tinkle on the hayfield.
Yeah.
Which is fairly minor, I would guess. You know, I'm back in the stand, and then so they rise up and they just kind of, you know, they stretch.
Yeah.
And they just kind of carry on down the fence.
Quick break.
Okay.
You need a quick break.
Interesting. And then, so now we're about, I'm going to say about 6:05, 6:06 p.m.
Okay.
So 18:06, if you're looking for 24-hour clock military time. All of a sudden, down the fence from the east. That's a nice buck. No way. And remember, previously I decided today I'm shooting a nice buck.
Yeah. On your way back from town.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, like it was set. Like,
you spoke it into reality.
Into fruition.
Into fruition.
That's I what sent my mom for. Some trail cam pics, and I know she was.
She's pulling for you.
She was having a few words with the big guy for me.
Absolutely.
And so he comes down the fence where I was minutes before, I think I even probably took a piss back there in the morning. But I want to circle back to some theories I have about that.
Okay.
Which I read online. Which I don't actually know work, but that's besides the point right now. So he came by, or he was coming, and then he stopped just beyond, straight behind me. He stops there. He's looking around. I'm not making a sound, right? He kind of steps a little ways back east. He's looking around. And he looks my way. And he slowly starts coming down the trail through the oaks towards me. So this trail runs like 20 yards behind my stand.
Yeah.
It's just perfect. You know, all the leaves have dropped. I have plenty of shooting lanes for the muzzleloader. Like, it is just...
prime.
It's prime.
A1.
He slowly makes his way. And he turns broadside and keeps walking. It was probably like a... it wasn't a quartering two shot. It was between quartering two and broadside, so...
just like a slight quarter.
Would you say 3/8 quarter or 3/8 two or something? Or
yeah,
or
sure. So, yeah, sure. I'll meet, just, yeah, I'll meet
just
you there.
Just in between there.
3/8, yeah.
And I touched it off. I believe it was about 30-yard shot.
Okay.
Roughly. He jumped. He turned around. He ran about 25 yards east. And just... fell over dead.
Piled up. PTL.
PTL, boy.
Praise the Lord.
He just piled up right there. I remember your video you took of your post shot.
Yeah.
Once I got down there, which was almost immediately after I got one, I'll show it to you later.
Absolutely.
I thought to myself, I'm going to do this. But I was just ecstatic, man.
Stoked.
Oh, I was just pumped. Just pumped. Because when he stepped out, like, I mean, there was a bit of ground shrinkage, which is fine, right?
There always is.
But what I had focused on was this guy's neck is just thick.
Yeah, you're thinking that roast.
I'm thinking that roast, hitter boy.
You're thinking about what that thing's going to do on the old pit mouse. The old Traeger, the Louisiana grill.
That pellet smoke.
That pellet hitter.
Get in there! So, that neck did not shrink. There was no ground shrinkage on that
on the neck,
boy.
No. All right, fair enough.
I was like, oh my goodness, this is nice. And granted, he's probably only like a 3.5. Hey, look in the freezer, would you?
Will do. Oh yeah, I think they're...
one for you, one for me.
Sounds like a plan. The boys are trying out a new thing today.
Yeah.
I started the episode off with a glass of wine. What's happening to us? We're getting old.
It's pretty good, though.
Amen.
Is this called a cold open?
Haha.
We should have done that at the beginning.
That would have been a great start.
Oh, well.
Yeah, well. Win some.
Lose some.
Lose few.
Win most, lose some.
Yeah. Lose few.
Yeah,
I'm gonna put that somewhere.
Lose a few, yeah.
Yeah, often. Lose a few often. Well, hey.
Then we're pretty much going back to the old
one.
Yeah,
I guess so. So, anyways, no ground shrinkage on the neck.
No.
How are the loins? The tenders.
Oh my goodness!
Just melt in your mouth.
Just melt in your mouth.
That's your first tenderloins on the hip boss. First bit of tenderloin on there. Or deer tenderloin?
Do
your dope? Or did your mom do her dope? Is what I meant.
Yes. Yes. So that was good too, but...
oh, yes, that's right.
This one, I did this one a little bit better.
Okay.
So it was just...
of course you did.
Yeah, I know.
Learning curve.
Yeah. So I had a short drag to the edge of the field. Took some pictures. Got to work on it. And so I shot it at 6:11 p.m.
Okay.
And it was like 3 seconds and it was just stone dead.
Yeah. He expired quickly.
He expired as fast as
That's what you want.
As fast as you could ask for, because as I found out later after dressing, it was a heart and lung shot.
So you sent one through the boiler room.
Right. Just perfect. And actually, the way he was he was walking when I shot him. And so his far side leg was back.
Yeah.
So I, just below his elbow, I caught the back of his front leg.
Okay.
On the way out.
So you don't have a whole whack of spoiled meat on that guy. That's a clean kill.
No.
You're maximizing your meat yield.
Yeah. And I got the top of the heart.
Yeah.
And but I destroyed some lung, but I still have a good chunk of heart to use.
Oh, absolutely.
So can't complain. Actually, I was surprised. It was only like a 20 or like a 30-yard drag or 40-yard drag, but it was thick there. It was way thicker over there where he died.
Thick. Yeah, they run into some thick.
Along the ground level, it's just way thicker for some reason.
Always is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up
foot and a half?
No.
Oh, wow. You can see clear to the ground pole from there. From a foot and a half up. You drop below that foot and a half line.
Nope.
You can't even see the ground.
You're in the fight.
You don't even know if you're walking on
you're walking on. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So.
So biggest buck you've ever shot?
No.
No?
No. That one 2 years ago was bigger. I think you think this thing's bigger than it is.
The pictures maybe do it better justice than...
Hey, man.
No, because what I'm saying is like...
I guess I'm good at taking a picture.
Maybe. But what I'm saying is from the pictures and from what I've seen, he looks way bigger than your buck 2 years ago.
Yeah, I can see that.
Oh, hell yeah. He looks way bigger. Look at him. He just about passed the ears there. Sorry, folks. You can't see it, but we're just looking at a picture of him now. He's pert near past his ears on that. Well, on one side he's passed, yeah. But that's the side that has five or four. That side
it's 4x4. It's 4x4. He got those trademark short brow tines.
Yep. Though. You think okay, now, you're 2 years bigger?
Now keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull
side by side.
I'm going to pull up 2 years ago. Well, that's kind of a poor picture. Let me find a good one here, boy.
I'm just thinking, like, because your buck 2 years ago was very similar to mine 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was pretty much identical. Honestly.
They were almost identical deer.
Oh, it's blurry. Come on.
It's loading.
There we go.
Ah, it's still...
It's the same width. Actually, it might be a hair wider, but this one's a little... The one from 2 years ago is a tad taller.
He's taller?
I think so, on G2, G3.
Ah, it doesn't look like it in the picture. Again, I haven't seen the deer. I've only seen a picture. Is he still hanging?
Yeah, I caped him right away when I got home.
Yeah, I figured you would.
Yeah.
But you, like...
Yeah, he's still hanging. I'm going to do him on the weekend.
Well,
on
maybe,
Friday, probably.
Yeah, maybe I'll go for a drive yet this
probably
evening.
Probably Friday afternoon.
Come down to see him. I gotta go to town anyway, eventually.
For what? Some stuff?
Yeah, things.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Sticks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Darn things.
I was on another level, man. And watching him walk that short distance from the fence line to where I shot him. I know we've talked about not being overly fired up for whitetails anymore.
Yeah.
That reignited that fire.
Yeah.
Just the way he walked and seeing his antlers.
Saunter in
and being at that distance and just like.
Oh, I totally.
The Lord has blessed me.
Oh, yeah. Like when the first time we saw Phil.
Yeah.
Walking down the edge of that cut, that was the same feeling I had. I was like, I'm actually pretty happy to be here right now.
Yeah.
Like this is real exciting to be a part of. Yeah, it's a cool feeling watching him saunter. It's just a cool sight to see how a big buck can just meander through and the swagger, almost the swagger he carries.
Granted, Phil is definitely a lot bigger than this one.
Or possibly was a lot bigger.
Possibly we don't know that yet. Bigger. That might be a twist in our outlook on life.
I'd be happy. I'd be happy with him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I sent you the video. Was it today or yesterday? I can't remember. I think it was today when I got home from work.
Oh, it was yesterday.
No, definitely today.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because a good friend of mine shot a absolute bruiser, 178 and 5/8 of a white-tailed deer in Grunthal. Now, the location I sent you...
Not in town.
Not in town. No, it was actually wrong. It was different. It wasn't a mile or 2 miles south of...
You had said 1 mile. And I thought, wait a minute, that's your dad's.
So it wasn't 1 mile south. It was actually out by the motocross track.
So that's a different deer.
I'm not convinced on that yet. So my thinking is... 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago, Phil and Cy disappeared off the face of the earth. From where we were hunting. Dropped off the face of the earth.
Granted, we did hunt different areas.
We did hunt different areas, but you know what? We were still within a vicinity that we should be able to have seen them where they were coming
in. Yes.
My thinking is, so that buck that Curtis shot, he's had on camera for the last 2 years. He's watched him grow. I think, I'm not saying that it is a different deer. I would hope that it is. I'd be just as happy as if it wasn't a different deer. But I think that bachelor group of three bucks that we first saw, I think they moved south.
That far?
South and west. I think that they moved.
That's a hike.
It'd be 5 miles where the crow flies.
Yeah. And they're not going to go with the crow flies.
Which, we all know from the farm buck story, is not unreasonably... It's not unheard of.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I was talking with my old man about it, and he said, you think they would move this early in the season? And I had a point for him, which kind of sparked his interest. I said, I don't think it's that early for them. The reason I say that, now again, I haven't shot a big buck this year. I haven't shot a deer this year. The reason I say that is because we've had an abnormal year with the moisture we've had. Not saying we're in the rut, but I'm saying I think that with how much moisture we've had, I think deer are doing different things than what they would have done any other year. Like it's a caveat of a year. Does that make sense? Because when you go down by the motocross track, what do you get into? One creek and a boatload of highland. High bush.
But that creek is
deep. Oh, it's, yeah. I got a buddy that lives right on the river there. But you get into highland, a lot higher than what we were in. And what do things do when there is water?
Go high.
They go high.
That's a good point.
So that's my deduction. I mean, I would love to see Phil running around that alfalfa field. And
Phil and Cy back at it.
Ouch!
Putting out that mixed tape.
Yep.
That album drop. That
hitter. That little Bishop Gun hitter.
Ooh,
shine that light on me, boy. On me. JK, don't be shining lights on deer. That's illegal to
have
them.
That's illegal. Unless you're just checking the
field. Yeah, you could be checking, yeah. As long as there's no rifle near you.
Yeah.
You're good. So
that is pretty much...
That's the story of
that's your... That's the story, man.
No name for the buck. Unnamed. The unnamed buck.
Jorge?
Yeah. All right. I get down, Jorge.
I have to run on... So, hang on. There's one quick thing I want to get into about that. So... Granted, you got the blessing of seeing Phil a lot more than I did because you sent me to hopefully kill him.
Yep.
So you had eyes on him a lot more than I did.
Yeah.
So I think that you got a lot more fired up than I did about him at that time.
Yeah.
And seeing this buck, Jorge, before and after I killed him, I was completely fired up. And I think that a large part of that has to do with the location that I'm hunting, and that it's my grandfather's land when they moved into southeastern Manitoba. That is where they bought. And so there's this big nostalgic feature to me.
Oh, yeah. That's bloodlines.
Yes. And that, for some odd reason, I guess it's not really an odd reason. It's pretty much makes sense.
Yeah.
And so when I hunt there, I get fired up. And that is extremely enjoyable to me. And
it's a driving factor in how you're able to spend that much time there.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I can totally agree with that.
And I think that's good and bad. Because even in the hard years when, like last year per se, I should have moved on from there last year. I should have gone elsewhere. Instead, I stuck it out there and didn't see anything until I finally shot that small buck, which was a hard road.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes I tend to search for that feeling of, I want to do Grandpa proud this year, when, shit, I could do Grandpa proud elsewhere as well.
Everywhere, yeah.
It doesn't have to be on where they had come to. Like,
no, I totally get that. And I mean, I think that's, I had the same problem this year seeing Phil. I mean, after we saw Phil that first night, I think I was there, 12 or 13 days in a row?
A bunch, at least.
Like it was almost two and a half weeks in a row every evening that I could get out there. I mean, I was out there, even if it was for an hour. But I think one thing I've had to learn through not having a piece of land like that, the nostalgic factor, I've had to learn to just accept the fact that I have to move on now.
Yeah.
You know, like I can overhunt an area and I can pressure and I can change the dynamics of that land. And if I move on, the grass very well could be greener.
Yes.
But the thing is, and the thing that I love about hunting is you never know if the grass is actually greener. You could move over there and there's just as diddly squat as there was where you are, and the deer could be moving where you were.
But
it's calculated risk.
How do you know?
Exactly. It's a calculated risk. You do the best you can to try and limit the factors that would play into it. But at the end of the day, you're gambling. It is gambling.
It's an agitated risk.
Yeah.
Or an educated guess. No, sorry, an agitated guess, not a risk. Well, it's a risk. An educated guess, yeah. But I like to say agitated.
Agitated, yeah. I can get behind that.
So that's one thing I'm slowly working with. And I think some other circumstances this year has helped to work on that too.
Yeah.
Which I don't want to get into right now.
No.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So
I think. Possibly. Anyways.
You know what I'm saying. What was our signal for doe again?
Oh, yeah. Anyways. Sorry, I was drawing a blank. I was going a completely different direction with that, with what you were trying to get at.
So, you were out hunting at that same time. Only found out I shot that buck the following day because you were out of service. You were in an unnamed wet location.
Yeah. Yeah, it was boring. Nothing. It was so wild, nothing happened. I saw two does the entire time I was there.
I thought you had a story for me.
Yeah, that was my story.
Oh.
My story
was that. You had me all fired up. I was excited.
No, it...
Because you had mentioned there was some big deer in the area lately.
Oh, there's 3 bucks there. Well, 3 to 5 bucks, depending who you ask.
Okay.
That are on a hit list between me, my dad, and a fellow that's trigger happy.
Your uncle?
I mean, yeah, my uncle. That's what I meant to say. He'll never hear this.
I don't think.
If not,
I'm going to have to answer for that.
Anyways, so, yeah, there's some really big deer on that section, and
they weren't out to play.
You know what? No, they definitely were. But me and my dad have been experimenting this year with locations of tree stands and kind of bouncing ideas back and forth off each other on how we can successfully hunt these deer year in and year out.
Okay.
So that land runs adjacent to a big section of crown.
Right.
And bucks tend to come in from the neighbors.
I just love that when they do that, eh?
Yeah, come in from the...
Why can't you just live on
my
said
land?
Piece?
Yeah, live on my land and die on my land.
Yeah.
That's all you need. So anyway, neighbors come in, or neighbors... Deer come that in...
Hunt with your neighbors.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
If the neighbors come in, they're getting shot too, don't worry. But it's not going to be by us. So anyway, the deer come in from our neighbors to the south.
Okay.
Which, you know where that is. You know who those people are.
Yeah.
And they kind of work their way up, and there's an area that we call the bedroom, where we are...
I'm trying to remember how to sing the Star Spangled Banner here.
Oh, say
can you see by the dawn's early...
Anyways. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, so our neighbors to the south, the Americans. So anyways, there's an area that we call the bedroom.
USA! 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 So the bedroom.
Yeah.
First day.
The bedroom is basically where we've seen the most sign, the most activity, the most beds. We are, all three of us are very confident that's where deer are living.
It's where the magic happens.
Yeah.
As they say.
That's what they say on Cribs.
You know, I've never watched that show.
Shout out to MTV Cribs.
Wait, no, I think I saw a YouTube clip of Joe Rogan's house on there or something.
Oh, but maybe.
That's it. Anyways.
It was a good show back in the day. I appreciated it. It's fun to see all these rich people's houses.
Their headers.
Them roof peaks. So we've been experimenting with different ideas on how to basically successfully hunt these deer. And when I went out, I had decided to leave the hottest stand that we had. The same stand I shot my buck out of 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I was actually going to leave that stand. I hunted farther south. And I did that for one reason and one reason only, being... I wanted to use it in 2 weeks.
Ah.
Just to save it. Just for a couple weeks.
Okay.
Just to, you know, let it simmer. Let deer do their thing around there. Because the trail cam pictures there are nuts. Nuts! By that stand.
Okay.
So I figured I'm going to hunt farther south and hopefully get them coming north-south or south-north. And I gambled wrong. I should have went farther north. I guess that would be northeast. Northeast.
Okay.
But I didn't. Played the wrong card. Saw two does. I had a doe at 60 yards and a doe at 120. And wasn't really feeling like Cam Hansing 120-yard doe shot. So I figured I'd let her walk.
Yeah.
It was fun, though. It was good to get out.
Was it just you and your pops?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was really good to get out and, spend some time just kind of in the bush alone and for the most part alone.
You guys stay at your uncle's place?
No, he did. I tented it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, tented it. We have a raised hunting blind that is 6 feet long that fits one person, so I sleep in there.
Oh.
Well, actually, it could fit two if you wanted to snuggle. If you're going to get close with a individual.
Well, when necessity comes calling.
Hey, when you need heat, you need heat. Hydro isn't always there to call.
No.
But it was fun. There was a bit of a workplace accident. No workers' comp needed.
Yeah, you're saying. That's
Yeah, I had a bit of an ouch.
A bit of a shoulder hiccup.
Yeah, just reoccurring shoulder issue. Which is okay.
Oh, it makes you think to really be careful climbing stands, though.
You do got to be careful. That's honestly, I've climbed ladders. I mean, I stuccoed for, 3-4 years?
Yeah.
I can climb a ladder, no problem. But ladder stands are difficult. They're skinny little rungs.
That's what I mean slick. When I said ladders, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because like, they're like half-inch tube, usually, yeah. Roughly. Oh,
your feet are always wet climbing into them. Or the bottom of your boots are, anyway.
Yeah.
And
chances are you're holding gear.
Yeah, guaranteed you're holding gear. Not many people climb in a tree stand just to sit and bird watch.
However, dog trail, little rabbit trail here. I've been getting into in the last few years having that line where you can just hook up your stuff and haul it up. Which makes a big, like, especially like with a bow or a gun, you can just have a sling on your back, that's not a big deal, but with my bow, at least bear hunting, I'll always hook it up down there and then pull it up.
It is nice to limit a drop. That's a big reason why a lot of guys do it, is so they don't drop their bow while they're climbing.
Yeah, and I mean, any gear you want to pull up there, that's really handy though.
Yeah. I should look into it.
Like, it's really easy to do, right?
Oh, yeah. Just in a row. I often when I'm hunting Nair, I have my bow strapped into my backpack.
Oh, okay.
So it's, I got to bring my backpack back anyway.
Right? Just leave it on your back and you're set. Right?
Yeah. And if I have my bow out, then I'll do two trips. But
yeah.
Just because I tend to not want to fall.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that idea.
Lots of bears, though.
Oh, yeah?
Bears and wolves. Yeah, lots of bears.
Okay.
Right at the, I guess that'd be the northeast corner. Lots of bears. I've been tempted to set up a stand. See if I can catch one coming.
Coming to and fro.
Coming to and fro, yeah. Catching bears.
Catching bears.
I got asked that the other day. You catch any deer? Nope. Didn't shoot one either, though.
Yeah. Wolves, eh?
Tons.
That makes me think of your wolf story from some time ago.
Hey, speaking of wolf story, you've got one of your own now.
Yeah!
You're part of the brotherhood.
Oh, my goodness.
Of the close wolf encounters.
Quickly, I'll break it down here real quick. Like, we don't need to ramble on for too long here. Okay, 2 weeks ago. Was it last weekend?
No, last weekend you were hunting.
I meant the weekend.
Oh, weekend before.
So,
yeah.
A week and a half ago, I had gone to Sandylands, and there's an old blind that a friend of mine had built in a tree years ago. So I'd kind of forgotten where it was. I know the general location of it, and I know there's wolves around there. I know there's bears. I know there's some
predators.
Some predators, yeah. So I set out. All I wanted to do was go out, go for a walk, put some miles on, and hopefully find that stand just for fun, and hopefully maybe find a chicken or two.
Yeah.
That I could poke with the bow. So walking out, there's tons of wolf tracks, like big ones too. Like oh my god, like
30-06 shell size.
Like, I should have brought my 300 Win Mag.
Boy. Life protection.
Yes.
Life insurance, they call it.
And so I walk in and I'm searching for this blind. Couldn't find it. So eventually, okay, darkness is coming. I'm gonna start heading out. So I started heading out, you know, took the long way back. And I had come across, I haven't been out there for a few years, and I come across this bear bait on the way in. So I figured I'll stop by there on the way out. Maybe there's gonna be a bear that I can shoot.
Yeah.
There wasn't. So I'm into probably about the last mile and a half, maybe 2 miles to the truck. And it is like, I think sunset has just happened, so it's starting to get dark.
Yeah, and it's getting dark
and
fast.
All I have is my bow, and it's thick bush out there, right? So it's getting dark, right? True darkness. And at this point, I can't see what's on the ground. So I can't see that there's tracks, that I'm following tracks now, fresh tracks.
Yeah. Which you were confident you were following fresh tracks.
No, no.
Oh.
I couldn't see them.
Oh.
So I had seen
But they were there?
I had seen them on the way in.
Oh, so at, okay. At I got
point,
you. I
at
got
this
you.
Point, I was
you.
Backtracking on my yeah, initial yeah. tracks.
In. I got you.
I so, you. As I come around this corner in the trail, it's like a very, very old quad trail. It's fairly sandy, though. So you could see tracks prior. And I see this thing bolt off into the bush. I think, well, okay, that doesn't look like a deer. It's awful low to the ground. That could be a small bear.
Yeah.
Which is, to me, seeing a small bear like that, okay, that's fine. I don't mind that. I bear hunt a lot, and I can handle that.
Like, if it's black, fight back. You know what they say?
I don't know.
If it's brown... I need
to be careful with that nonetheless.
What is it? If it's...
That's
not a racial term either. That's not a racial thing, if that's what you're getting
at. Oh, if it's black, fight back, with brown, lay down?
Yeah.
And then get out of there?
And if it's white, you'll be all right? I don't know.
No, no, I think the whites are the...
They're the worst of them. They're the worst of them.
Polar bears. So...
Ursus Arctos.
This something or other bolts off the trail into the bush ahead of me. I'm like, okay, what on earth is that?
It takes a minute. It always takes a minute.
It's like, that is too low to the ground to be a deer. And that is super fast, so that's not a wolverine.
Just drop the een.
Granted, I've never actually seen a wolverine in the flesh. And remember, darkness is falling.
Yeah.
I come around the next corner. 60 yards up the trail, there's 7 wolves on the trail. I'm like, oh! And now we're about 15 minutes away from end of shootable light.
Yeah.
All I have is my bow.
And a knife. You're fixing on getting a movie written about you at that point.
I'm like...
And you ain't going to be there to direct.
I know. And I only have 5 arrows.
Yeah. And good luck knocking arrows that fast.
Yes. So I, like, oh my goodness. And immediately I thought of your wolf story from back in the day. I'm like, actually, no, I had thought of that prior because I was like, because I'd seen the wolf tracks. I'm like, okay, this could get interesting. This
could be a Sprague 2.0 yeah, here.
And I thought about it. I was like, okay. Well, we'll just carry on.
Yep.
So I come around the corner and there's 7 wolves standing there. And I'm like, well, great. So, like,
this is dandy.
This is fun. I'm being sarcastic. Yeah. Yes, yes. In hindsight, it was a lot of fun. But at the moment, it was like, this is quite the risk.
Yeah, this sucks.
And I don't have a way out of this at the moment. Like, what do? Yeah. You can't turn around and run.
No, you can't wait because it's getting dark.
Yeah. So I started yelling at them.
Yeah.
Literally, I just like, well, gonna make some noise and look big.
Yeah.
So 3 or 4 of the, like the smaller ones, they bug out in the bush. And the 3 big ones, they stand there for a few seconds and they're just looking back over their shoulder. They're just looking at me.
They're like, can we take him?
They're like, they're just looking at me. And then they just kind of like step into the bush.
Gone. And that's the eeriest part because you know you gotta walk there.
Yeah. So I just, you know what? I said, I can't even put my pack down to get my headlight out of here. I am just gonna walk and I'm gonna pay very close attention to everything. I'm gonna keep my ears on.
Just listen.
And I'm gonna keep yelling. So I kept yelling and I think my line was, oh, I had started a conversation with them. I had said, all right, wolves, which one of you wants to die first today? I said, can I kindly get you guys to line up single file and we'll start taking shots one by one? Would you do that for me, please? And this is in a loud voice.
Oh, yeah, you're yelling at this point. Yeah. You're just communicating.
Yeah, just
smell us now, lady.
I just wanted to make sure they, like, the last thing you want to do is spook something and then they turn and protect themselves like a bear.
Yeah.
Like that's why, that was my thinking. I don't know if it's a necessarily good idea with wolves, but with bears, yes, you want to be known. And then they'll usually step aside if you're making noise.
I think with a wolf, Wolves being a little more creatures of prey than a black bear will be.
Generally,
I would say. I can't see it ever being a bad idea. I mean, a dog will do the same thing. I was, not to cut off your story, but I was walking out of that section in Grunthal, took the long way around, and I got chased by one of the dogs. And he kept
walking. The neighbor's
dog? Neighbor's dog, yeah. So I'm walking, and I got my headlamp on, and I'm like, fine. You want to play this game? Let's play this game.
Mood.
So No, I wasn't. It was a German Shepherd.
Oh.
I was not going to get close enough to boot it.
Okay.
Because they're big dogs, and yeah. I've seen what a German Shepherd can do to a rabbit, and my foot is not much bigger than a rabbit.
Yeah.
So I knocked an arrow, and I went full draw, and I walked backwards. And he kept... And then he'd run like 15 yards and stop. And I'm like, and he'd get just to about 20 yards, and then he'd stop. I mean, it's pitch black, right? And I told him, and I was talking to him, I said, all right, if you want to die, I'll kill you. If you have a death wish, I'll kill you right here, right now. Take one more step. And as soon as I said it, no sooner was he gone. It's like he understood. Not that he obviously didn't. He probably just got far enough away from home that he realized he was...
Oh, my food's back there.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, okay, see you.
Have a good night.
But anyways. Seven timbers.
And some... At least three... A big ones.
Mature.
Mature.
Hot damn.
So I just...
Did it make you feel alive, though?
I just chugged on out of there and... You know, you look left, you look right, and there's all of a sudden a bit of an opening in the trees beside you, and you're like...
That's where
they are. What was that moving there? What was that moving there? What was that moving there? Just keep going. Listen. Heart's going, like, get back in the truck. Throw the shit in the truck. Get in the truck.
Lock your door. Like they could open a door.
Well, I didn't lock my doors, but yeah.
I did. I locked my door and turned my lights on.
When was that story of yours with the wolves down in the swamplands?
That would have been...
Probably what, 4 years ago-ish?
Four or five seasons ago?
Have you ever told that on here?
I don't know if I ever did.
Well, if not, let's break it down.
So we'll have a quick story. So I'd been hunting the southern piece of land there. So I was walking into my tree stand in the morning, and it was about an hour and a half till... shootable light in the morning.
You're early.
Yeah, that's one area I tend to get out there early. Huh. I usually leave Stein, like, at that time, I'd leave Steinbach around 4:30.
Dang.
Yeah. And that was after a coffee and everything.
Yeah.
Grab a coffee and a breakfast sandwich and hit the road.
Because,
you know, by the time you get there, Mother Nature's calling. Yeah. So anyways, I was walking in. And, no, you know what? This might have been, no, for sure. No, because I didn't have my SB1 yet.
Did you have a rifle out there?
No, I was with the bow.
Oh, okay.
That was archery. I had my bear.
Oh, so this is some time ago.
No, that's not true. I had my buddy's bear. I'd borrowed my buddy's bow. Mm. Calvin's bow. Because we're the same draw length.
Yeah.
So anyways... I'm walking out, and I'm about 160 yards, maybe, from my truck, walking in, headlamp on, you know, because I have about maybe half a mile that I have to walk, not the way the crow flies, the trail zigzags, but I know I have another at least 15 minutes of walking with headlamp before I have to turn my headlamp off to get into the stand.
Yeah.
Like I can get into that stand with the back of my hand. So I'm walking in, and just before the trail bends, I hear some rustling in the bush, and I'm like, oh, maybe I bumped a doe. Like, it's a little early, but I could have bumped a doe. Maybe she's heading out to feed early. And then I hear it. And boy, I was so close. I could hear the vibrations in the vocal cords. Like, just like it sounded like it couldn't decide on a pitch and it was choosing.
Oh, man.
And
that's like right there.
I bet you I was probably 60, 70 feet.
Oh,
like just on the other side of the bush line. They are right on the edge of the field, I bet you. So I stopped. I'm like, my first thought was,
clean your britches, collect your thoughts.
My first thought was, is this going to wreck my hunt? Like, did they chase all the deer out of here?
That was your first
thought? My very first thought was, should I just go home? I'm like, no, no. And then they clicked. Like, it took me a minute to realize, or I shouldn't say to realize, I think to fully comprehend, because I knocked an arrow right away, and I unclipped my knife,
yeah,
because I've got a little holder, I don't know, the strap. I unsnapped it, and I just walked.
Yeah, on your sheath?
Yeah, and I walked, and I walked, and I got to my tree stand, and I sat down in my tree stand, and then I realized how fast my heart was racing. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, they were close. Those were wolves. They were close. And I didn't even realize it. Like, it's like it happened so fast, but it didn't happen fast.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I should have had a chance to comprehend it, but I just didn't. I never put it in my mind to comprehend it. So, I hunt that day. I think I maybe saw a doe or two. Never got a shot off. And it's in the last half hour of light, so I'm, you know, starting to pack my stuff up, mm-hmm. right? You know, I'm putting my half a thing of honey sandwiches, the bags away. I'm
getting squared away.
Getting squared away. I get my headlamp out. And I thought to myself, yeah, I should put my headlamp on. Like, I'll leave it dark.
Yeah.
So yeah, sure enough, I wait about 15 minutes after legal shooting light ends and start creeping my way out. And I turn the corner, the same corner I heard the wolves at. I turn the corner, and for the life of me, I don't know why, but I picked my head up. Maybe to check if my truck was still there, or I don't know. But I picked my head up to look at my truck, and there is four wolves. Or five wolves, I can't remember. Four. I'll say four. Four wolves. Standing beside my truck. This time I could comprehend what was going to happen. And right then and there, I knocked an arrow.
Trouble, sir.
And I unclipped my knife. And I, out loud, I said it to myself. I said, well, if this is the way I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out fighting. So I clipped my release on. I figured, I know I can get one. I can get one shot off. I know what these rage hypodermics can do.
Mm-hmm.
I can get one wolf down. Yep. The second one, I gotta be pretty hand-to-hand with him. Right? Like,
Get him an eye poke with the end of the bow.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking with my knife. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna have to be, you know, I figured I could take two. Well, I told myself.
If you eye poke him, you can end the fight.
Yeah.
John Jones style.
No contest. Yeah. Kick him while he's down. Does that count?
Sure.
I told myself, if I can take two of them, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And then I can go out peacefully. So I stop and I wait.
So, okay, how far away is your truck right now?
80 yards maybe.
And there's four wolves standing,
like sniffing my truck tires. Obviously, they're smelling dogs, right?
Oh, so they're not necessarily looking at
me. Oh, they're not looking right at me, but they're sniffing my truck. Yeah, yeah. Like I was at the farm the night before. I'm sure they could smell my dogs and whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're not looking at me. So
that's at least a bit of a relief that they're not standing there staring at
me. No, not at that point licking their lips, right? But I'm thinking to myself, they have my scent now.
Yeah.
Right? So it's only a matter of time before they start walking down the trail towards me.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, the wind is in my face.
Yeah.
Right. I have their wind, so that way I'm happy. And I stood there.
Bigger timbers?
Two of them were big. I bet you, two of them were probably 6 foot no step tail tip, like long. Like I was comparing them to my truck, and I was like, "Wow, you guys make my truck look like a quarter ton."
Shoot.
Yeah, like big dogs. So I stand there for what felt like 35 years. Was honestly, it was probably no more than 2 or 3 minutes. And they must have seen my headlight bounce off the truck. And they put their nose to the ground and took off. they would have been walking, I guess, west.
Okay.
So I took a deep breath.
So is your truck close to the road?
It's parked right on the highway.
Oh.
Just about on the highway. Like, there's a little entrance. I'm right there.
Oh, okay.
I've driven by that. We've driven by there. Yeah, no, I guess we never. I gotta show you. I'll show you.
There one day.
Yeah, we gotta get out there.
Take the rifle out there one day.
Yeah, go for a poke.
Find a wolf or a bear.
Yeah, go for a poke. So anyways, we...
You working late on Friday?
Always.
That's right.
Every. Actually, I don't know. I got some vacation time I need to take. So we'll see. Wait. Tomorrow's going
to
be...
No, I need to do that buck on Friday. Never mind. That's not going to work.
Yeah, you got to deal with that bruiser. So anyways, so they take off and I run the second fastest quarter mile of my life. Obviously, it wasn't a quarter mile, but I don't think I've ever ran that hard in my life.
So you could have qualified. You could have done well at the NFL scouting combine.
Oh, yeah. I would have been running a 4.4.
Woo!
I would have been running a 4.4 easily.
Okay.
And that's not. I'm not on the Winstrom cycle or DECA. I am on a test. No, that was pure adrenaline.
That pure wolf cycle.
Oh yeah. And so adrenaline. I trucked it.
That adrenaline hit it.
Oh yeah. It was coursing through my veins. I made it to my truck. I threw my bag in the back seat so hard, I thought I was going to break my window on the other side. I just, like, as I was running.
Door in.
I didn't even open the second door. I was, 10 steps away. I had my backpack out. Oh, door open. Threw it in. Jumped in my truck. Shut my door. Lock it. And I'm like, whew, right? Turned my truck to get it started. And my lights go on. And directly where I was standing, from where I ran the 70, 80 yards, there are those four wolves standing there with their nose to the ground, sniffing my boots, sniffing my boot prints.
Dang.
And I drove home. I don't think I turned the radio on. Now, at that time, I used to do a little more drinking and driving. I don't think I cracked a beer. I don't even think I had a cigarette. I put my arm on the armrest, and I just drove. In silence.
Just mulling.
Just like contemplating what I just, or trying to comprehend what I just avoided.
Yeah.
It was nuts. And it's cool to talk about and think back on and laugh about now. But the older I get, the more I realize, hot damn, I've cheated death a few times.
Hey man, I'm guilty myself too.
But it's stuff like that almost makes you re-fall in love with the wilderness.
Yeah.
Because I think...
Yeah.
I know I tend to get a little complacent, like, hunting that Grunthal section. What's the worst that's going to happen? A coyote's going to come say hi?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's just... Or... That's $50 in...
Or bear.
Yeah.
Or bear.
Even a bear. And a bear...
Which could get you in trouble, but...
Yeah. Which is one way I want to go. Yeah. Getting scratched.
Yeah.
But not by a black bear, though. I don't want to get scratched up by a black bear, and that's the way I go out. It's got to be a grizzly.
A big old black boar, old son. That thing will.
I know, but a grizzly would be cool. Because, like, what do we have out here? Oh, we're on T. Freezing Trail? No, I want to go, right up there, that's Tanner Freezing Pass. That's where you got cut up a little bit by a grizzly.
Yeah. You got
scratched.
He was expired up there.
By a big old grizzly. And then we got him. One of them browns, old son. But yeah, it makes you feel alive, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It takes a few years off you, I think, but it makes you feel alive.
Yeah. You have any...
concludal thoughts? Yeah. Shower thoughts?
You go first.
I heard something on Theo's podcast, and I shared it with you, and it's kind of been stuck in my head the last few days. It's Serenity Prayer.
Yeah, run through that again.
So, the prayer goes as follows. Give me the serenity to accept that, give me the serenity to accept what I can't change, the courage to change what I can, and the knowledge to know the difference.
Huh.
So that's something that's been on.
Say that again, one more time.
So give me the serenity. I just use peace because it's easier. Give me the peace to accept what I can't change, the courage to change what I can.
Okay.
And the different, and the knowledge to know the difference.
The discernment to know the.
The discernment to know the difference.
God, that's pretty good.
That's a hitter. That's that hitter. Good. Yeah. So, going forward. With a few events that have transpired in the last 2 months, between my shoulder and some other things that I'm kind of working on.
Women?
Not even just women.
Had a frog in my throat there.
Yeah, it's crazy, eh? Frogs in October. Almost November. Wow, ribbit. Almost November. Women. So,
women.
I actually decided to sell my bull. A little early than I wanted to, with the shoulder being a big part of that. But one of the things that I struggled with, especially this year going forward with hunting, was I felt stressed to go hunting.
Okay.
I was stressed every day at work because all I wanted to do was go hunting.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the time. And it was starting to affect my physical health. Like, yeah. I noticed my guts were starting to act up again. Yeah. I was sick. I was not sick, but I felt like I was fighting something all the time. I had headaches. I was getting so stressed about not hunting, or hunting because I wasn't hunting. So I decided, I had a buyer lined up. They were willing to pay a very, very fair price. So I decided to pull the trigger. I think I'll go probably next week and order a new one because I'm not going to go that long.
You're going to drop that brand name right now?
I'm thinking about APA. I'm leaning towards the APA archery.
Saskatchewan.
Scratch me one. Fastest bow in the market.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm looking at a few different options there. Talking with my local archery expert.
D&G Family Archery.
Darren.
Yep, check him out.
Great guy, yeah. He's on Facebook, he's on Instagrams. He's on the Instagrams. So yeah, I sold my bow. I ended my archery season a little early. I'm still planning on hunting this year.
You take the old boomstick out.
I am going to take the long gun out.
Not a bad idea.
I might even take the old stompa out.
Yeah?
We'll see. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
But I felt like it was time for me to just, you know, put some physical health first. Because I find it extremely ironic that I was stressed about hunting. That shouldn't be the issue. That's not the kind of person that I am.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not that I was stressed with hunting. It was more the work side of it. Not being able to go ever, and being called in on Saturdays.
Yeah, that sucks.
And long weekends and other things. So yeah, my shower thought is that prayer going with that story.
Okay.
Give me the peace to accept what I can't change, the courage to change what I can, and the knowledge to know the difference.
Gang, that's good.
That's a hitter. I say that every morning right when I wake up.
I'm going to have to throw that into the routine.
It's a good start to the day.
Yeah.
When something happens, you can just tell yourself, okay, can I change this or can I not? No? All right. Adios.
You know, that's going to fall right in line with my thought here.
All right, let's hear it.
It's also from Theo Vaughn.
All right. The Red King.
The road to the strap goes
through the rats. Tickle that nickel, baby. I'm the Fonz with the bronze. I want to enjoy the alloy.
If there's ever going to be a guest, we need him on here.
Trio Vaughn. If he comes to Manitoba, I will go and see his
family. I'm honestly thinking about driving somewhere to go see him.
If
he played Nodak or South Dakota... Oh, I'd be in there like white on rice. I'm gonna say a thing that he had brought up again recently that really struck me, and it was nothing changes if nothing changes. And that actually falls right in line with your thought.
Yeah.
Because that's all about change as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, having that discernment, whatever. But, I mean, this goes beyond like hunting. Like, I mean, there's a lot of variables that you cannot control in the hunting world.
Totally.
So, but if you want to better your career or your work situation, well, sometimes you just got to make a change. And maybe you just have to believe that maybe you are qualified for this job and you should apply for it.
Exactly.
And maybe good things will come of it.
And what's the worst they're going to say?
You're not qualified.
Not now.
Not now.
Okay, well, I still have a job.
Yeah.
I'm still paying my bills.
Yeah, exactly. Or...
get in there.
Now, this is... I'm not going to get too detailed on this, but...
sure.
If you're having trouble with the ladies, well, maybe you need to change something. Maybe you need to... maybe try a little harder,
get
out a little bit more, and this is all stuff that maybe I myself need to do.
Maybe both of us need to.
Maybe. That could very well be.
I mean, I'm not going to confirm, but I'm not going to deny.
There you go.
That's a confirmation of sorts.
But you still, you know, you're starting to realize that sitting around waiting to die is not the way to do things.
You're get busy living.
Or get busy dying. So, nothing changes if nothing changes. And
PTL.
PTL, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. That's the Lord's work right there. Yeah.
Doing the Lord's work. Gang, gang.
Gang, gang.
So, keep that in mind. Run that one by once more.
Give me the peace to accept the things I can't change. The courage to change what I can, and the knowledge to know the difference, or the discernment to know the difference, whichever you want to put on it, if you're a King James to a New Living Translation kind of fella.
Nothing changes if nothing changes.
Get in there.
Get in there!
The road to the strap. Go through this rat! Get in there!
Have a happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween!
Ooh.